Call the Snohomish County Board of Supervisors meeting to order. Today's May 1st, 2012. The time is 9 o'clock a.m. Everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to start the meeting today with a presentation, May 2012, as Asthma Awareness Month in Stanislaus County. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I have some good news for you today. I know there's not always good news. There's variable news here, but this is good news. Today is World Asthma Day, May 1st, and the recognition of asthma throughout the whole world, and the importance of diagnosis and treating asthma. I represent the Stanislaus County Asthma Coalition, which is 10 years old now, and started in 2002 when John Walker approached me and others about having a coalition. We have some members of the coalition here. You just raise your hand. Yeah. So right now we have 95 members of the coalition over the last 10 years. We started out with just a few people, and they represent 40 community-based organizations. That's not the case, though. We're going to have an asthma fair tomorrow at Memorial, and I have some brochures to teach about asthma and for the public to learn more about it, and that's from 10 until 2 at Memorial Medical Center. We have our third annual update for school nurses. There's a strong relationship between the Asthma Coalition and the school nurses in the county. We're having an asthma teaching session for medical providers, and then in July we're having a round table for physicians and nurses and respiratory therapists. The newest thing this year is the Speakers Bureau, so we are teaching young people. We have 15 members of the coalition who have been taught how to teach young people and others to go out and speak about asthma. But that's not the good news either. Actually, the good news is behind you here, and I guess you can't see it otherwise?
We have screens.
We have screens. The good news is what you see on the screen here is a meeting this year looked at asthma rates. As you know, there's air pollution in the valley. We've done pretty well in terms of improving that air pollution. The standards keep going up, which makes it harder, but we've improved. Look at this. If you look at this, Stanislaus County is the kind of turquoise, third from the left in California. Rates of asthma are on the far left in black, and then you see the other counties, Merced and Kern and Madera and so on. We're kind of in there with the valley as far as rates of asthma. And that's from 2002 to 2009. Going to the next one.
I don't know why I did that.
There it goes this way. No? Can you do it? Technical. Remember slides? Is it okay now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what did you...
Oh,
there it goes.
Okay. Oh, it fades in? Oh, dear. The average rate of lifetime asthma diagnosis, 2009, this is, again, I think one of the things that we see is that as asthma is better known, it's diagnosed more often. But here we are, the turquoise. Ladies, is that turquoise? I don't. It's a light blue. We're right in there with the rest of the Central Valley in terms of numbers. Fresno is often the worst, Madera. And we're above California, obviously. But this is the good news. This is the emergency room rates for children per 10,000 residents in 2008. We are not only below our fellow Central Valley people, but we're below California in terms of emergency room visits. And I think that says a great deal about our county and what we've done about asthma. I think the coalition is part of that. The whole county itself is working on these things. But I'm very proud of that slide, that we're really below California and certainly well below the rest of the Central Valley in terms of ER visits. And that's true for hospitalizations also. So that's the good news. Amongst not so good news, sometimes we're doing well in one area, and that's a good thing. So thank you. Do you have a proclamation?
I do. Come on up.
Thank you for the good numbers that we see. Asthma affects many in our community, so I want to thank the 95 members of the Asthma Coalition for what you do in the education and the awareness, management and prevention of asthma. So thank you for what you do. The Nassau County Board of Supervisors has proclaimed May 2012 as Asthma Awareness Month, and we'd like to present this proclamation to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do.
This is just the brochure for the asthma care of the moment.
Very good. We'll pass it down. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a second presentation this morning, May 12, 2012, Ride for Mom event. Good morning.
Good morning. Chairman, members of the Board of Supervisors, I'm Bob Flores with my riding mate, colleague, and friend, Armando Flores. I have a tendency to talk too long, so I'll try to keep it short.
I'll talk on him if you get it.
7 years ago, my mother passed away from cancer, a condition she had the second time around. I was in my late 40s. I come from a family that's not very healthy. Mom never really took very good care of herself, and I was looking around for something to do to try to maybe improve myself health-wise. So I started riding my bike. It was a collision of my mom's condition and two friends of mine who had been hitting on me for years to ride. So I started riding my bike, and it was kind of fun. I mean, you remember, riding a bicycle is a child thing. It's fun, it's easy, and it's good for you. So I started riding my bike and started liking it and started riding in organized rides, and then started looking at various rides maybe I could do around the county for mom, just to remember her. And then every time I'd go out for a ride, I would look at potential routes. Then I started checking out various cancer organizations, went out and reserved the domain name rideformom.com, and I want you to write that down. I'd be grateful if you would check out the website. This is 4 years ago, and then I tabled it. I didn't do anything. And last year, I was out riding Crabtree between Roberts Ferry and Knights Ferry with one of my pals from the Rotary Club, and I'm telling him this idea, and he says, Bobby, this is a great idea, we got to do it. So now we're doing it. The logo on the back screen there, you'll see, is our theme. Can you put up, can you use your clicker? This is not, your formatting and your PowerPoint's a little different than mine, so I'm going to say these words. Mom is somebody you know who's sick, and it doesn't have to be mom, it could be a loved one, it could be a brother, a family member, a friend, but everybody in this room has a story to tell about somebody who has experienced the scourges of either cancer, diabetes, or heart disease, which is what this project is about. Ride for means doing something about it. Our tag, be active, eat healthy, means to affirmatively of ourselves do something, whether it's be active athletically, sports-wise, in terms of fitness, or to eat better. you can't see this either, but I'll say it. $800 billion, and that's with a B, $800 billion to $1 trillion a year in this country are spent on medical expenses and lost employee productivity time, whether it is people who die or people who can't work because of these three diseases. And these three diseases are largely preventable. There's lots of literature out there, but I'm told at least 40% of cancers can be preventable. And in my mom's case, I wonder if she had taken better care of herself if she'd be here today. Cancer and diabetes run deep in my family. My mom had it, my cousin, my uncle, my grandmother have all had cancer or died of cancer. My father has diabetes. My brother, who's 51 years old, can't feel the front of his feet. He's very fit, but he can't feel the front of his feet. And that's a result of lifestyle choices he made over the last 51 years. And so the effort here is to promote awareness about what we can do to make ourselves better physically and ultimately mentally. Okay, the event, 10, 30, 72-mile rides, staged out of Johansson High School, lunch prepared by Conchetta and Green's Market. First 300 riders will receive a bunch of cool stuff, bag, T-shirt. The courses are monitored. There are course marshals. There are what we call SAG, supporting gear or servicing gear. The idea is to have a family event the day before Mother's Day that won't go all day. It'll be over about 1:30 to 2, and it's all local. Three routes. First route is a 10-mile route that goes down the bike trail. The 30 and 72-mile routes go east into the East County. And just a little bit about my mom, Jinx. You might say, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with my mom's name being on the logo. People on the effort say, no, you have to put that in there. This is personal to you. Drives people to the website. Jinx was my mom's name. She was born on Friday the 13th. She was a blue baby, wasn't expected to live. Her mom died when she was 12. She overcame all kinds of obstacles. So she was said that she jinxed things, so she was Jinx. Her real name was Suzanne Helen Reno, good French name. But on her driver's license, it said Jinx Sports. We're having a lifestyle fair. In addition to the lunch and the staging of the event, there'll be 15 to 20 exhibitors on various health aspects and some other cool stuff like antique bikes. Four local beneficiaries. The effort is local. This is ground roots, ground up grassroots effort. Four local beneficiaries, a unit out of Memorial Hospital to lecture local high school students on the addictive aspects of nicotine, Doctors Hospital Foundation group on childhood obesity and diabetes prevention, a health fair that's given every October south of town to vulnerable families. It's promoted by El Concilio, and then bike advocacy. And I'll just move through this. We have a spectacular group of people. You can read about the group that's been involved in supporting this and organizing it on the website. If you go about us, I'm forever grateful for people who have embraced the project to make it their own. This photograph is seen on the back. Turn around and look at it. You will not see this on our route. Not what this is about. I'm afraid of heights. I just thought this was a funny slide, so that's why I put this in there. And Armando has a few words.
Well, this is why I'm also a cycling enthusiast. I've been cycling for about 20 years. But to make it personal, a couple of things I'd like to mention. The purpose of this ride is to have fun and to be healthy, okay? So that's the get-go. It's not a race. Some people think, I'm not fit to do a 10-mile bike ride. Well, you are. Anybody can do a 10-mile bike ride at a slow pace. And there's stops along the way. Bring your children, bring your family, bring your spouse. And it's much more fun when you're riding in a group. And it's also fun, a little piece of advice, if you ride behind a guy this big. Because when I do those long distance rides, I draft behind him, and it's like drafting behind a Mack truck. Another personal point. I have chronic asthma, but you probably wouldn't believe it because I can ride with Bob on the 70-mile ride or a 100-mile bike ride. But the reason why I can cope with asthma is because the exercise has made my lungs stronger, and the doctor encourages me to continue to enjoy this sport for my own health, because asthma is a serious disease that I suffer from. But the opportunity to improve your health does not occur that often. So come and support our bike ride, and thank you for giving us this opportunity to present.
Okay. Just a couple of comments. I'm not blessed with a biker body like Armando. Petite Italian Spanish bodies, I have a linebacker body, but that doesn't matter. What matters is going out and having fun. And I very much appreciate the opportunity to be here. You've provided us with validity and affirmation on a project. If you're interested, or if anybody's interested in knowing more about the project or wants to volunteer, participate, it's all available on the website, rideformom.com. Thank you.
All right, well, Board of Supervisors does have a resolution. We'd like to thank the Sunrise Rotary Club and everybody else who's involved in this event. But the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby join the community in supporting the Ride for Mom event taking place in Modesto, May 12, 2012. Gentlemen, thank you for doing this. It's a great event from what we can see, and we hope it's very successful. All right.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right, next item this morning is public comment period. If anybody wishes to address this board on any issue that is not on today's agenda, they may do so now. Seeing no one, will move on. There's a item pulled from today's agenda. Item C2 is pulled from today's agenda. We'll move to consent calendar. It consists of all the items with an asterisk on the agenda today. Does any Board of Supervisors have any item they wish to pull for a separate discussion or separate vote? Does anybody in the audience wish to comment on any of the consent calendar items, those items marked with an asterisk? Seeing no one, I'll come back for action.
Make a motion, we approve the consent calendar.
Motion by Withrow.
Second.
Second by Chiesa. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That item passes. Moving on to item B6, consideration and approval third quarter financial report for fiscal year 11-12.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Doring. I'm Monica Nino, the county's chief executive officer. This morning, staff will be presenting the county's third quarter financial report for fiscal year 2011-2012. I would like to thank our CEO staff, along with our county department heads and their respective budget staff. This report is important because it is one of the final opportunities the organization can share with the board and the public our affirmation of ending the year in a positive fiscal position. The year-end projections in both revenues and expenditures are trending as stated in early March during the county's mid-year fiscal review update. The county's exposures, as will be presented today, weigh heavily in the area of the board's priority of a healthy community. The many challenges the county continues to face, whether it's related to labor-related costs or public safety realignment, it remains important now and in the future that the cost of operation are commensurate with operating revenues and service deliveries are those that are sustainable. Mr. Risen, Ms. Tomlinson, along with Ms. Allman, are here to present the third quarter financial report. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, board members, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. My name is Stan Risen with the Chief Executive Office, and as Ms. Nino mentioned, joining me at the staff table is Cindy Tomlinson, a senior management consultant in the Chief Executive Office, and Christy Allman, who prepared our PowerPoint for this morning. The third quarter report is our final budget report for this fiscal year, and as Ms. Nino shared with you, it's primarily intended to make sure we're on track to end the year in a positive fiscal position. Also provides us an opportunity to update you on any new issues or any new information that may be coming out of the state capitol. And finally, it's an opportunity to schedule the public hearing for the upcoming proposed budget. As we've done for a number of years now, we've organized a report around your seven board priorities. As a quick recap, the 2011-2012 adopted final budget you approved last September totaled just over $891 million. It represented the third straight year that we've seen a decline in the county's overall budget, and the fourth straight year of declines for the general fund. Throughout our report, you'll notice that we analyze what we refer to as the operating budget. In addition to what you approved as part of the final budget, this $891 million, the operating budget includes any spending authority carried over from last year, as well as any changes that have been approved, either through one of our quarterly reports or in separate agenda items. Our current operating budget is just over $950 million. If you approve the recommendations contained in the report today, total appropriations will increase by just over $16 million, offset by close to $12 million in estimated revenue and the use of $4.2 million in fund balances. You will notice that the largest recommended increases, $12.8 million, are in the healthy community priority area. At this point, we'd like to give you a brief summary of some of the recommendations contained in the report, and we'll break that down by priority and then departments within that priority. In the safe community priority area, the only recommended change is in the CEO County Operations County Court funding budget. We are recommending that estimated revenue be decreased by $175,000 in this budget. The county has an obligation with the Administrative Office of the Courts to fund a minimum maintenance of effort for court operations. We can apply certain types of court fines and fees in meeting this obligation. Unfortunately, this year, revenues appear to be lagging, increasing the portion of our county obligation, although we're hopeful it will end up being less than the $175,000 identified here. At this point, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Cindy, who will guide us through the rest of the department recommendations.
Thank you, Stan. Good morning. Cindy Tomlinson, Chief Executive Office. Within the Healthy Community Departments, there are several recommendations that will adjust the departments within the Healthy Community priority. First up is the Health Services Agency, where a recommended $6.4 million increase. This is resulting from a transfer from $3.2 million from clinics and ancillary services to fund the medically indigent adult program costs within the indigent health care program budget. Medically indigent adult program enrollment is up 11% over the 2010-11 enrollment, from a total of 8,700 patients to over 9,600. Over the past 5 years, enrollment has increased by almost 3,000 patients, or 43%. Originally presented in the final budget as a $2.9 million deficit, the additional $300,000 increase is due to increased cost of lab services. In the Community Services Agency, a $5.3 million increase overall is recommended. For the In-Home Supportive Services Program, this funds the full cost of the program. We began the fiscal year with a shortfall there, and we waited to get actual caseload data to give you the best estimate of costs. At this point, we're only recommending $385,000 increase. In foster care, the adopted final budget recommended an unmet need of $1.9 million, resulting from court-ordered increases in group home and family foster home rates, as well as a legislated increase from AB 12, which increased the age limit for youth in foster care. At this point in time, due to savings from decreases in CalWORKs caseloads and grant, as well as savings in the general assistance program, the unmet need that we're recommending here today is $1.7 million. Both of these unmet needs will be funded from a transfer from match contingency funds. As I previously mentioned, in the Community Services Agency, we're recommending a transfer of $176,000 in appropriations from the general assistance program into public economic assistance to fully fund the foster care program. These match funds are saved due to a declining caseloads in adult general relief. For behavioral health and recovery services, an increase of $1.1 million is recommended, primarily for an increase in hospitalization costs. Counties are mandated to provide crisis stabilization for all county residents and hospitalization for uninsured and Medi-Cal eligible individuals. In the last fiscal year, the department had an average of 20 individuals hospitalized on a daily basis, 49% of whom were Medi-Cal eligible. Through the current fiscal year, the daily census has increased to 25 and continues to rise, but Medi-Cal eligible has decreased to 46%. The department receives reimbursement of 50% for those Medi-Cal eligible patients, but the county has 100% responsibility for those who are uninsured. Also in the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services is a recommendation to process prior year invoices totaling $800 for graphic services performed by the Stanislaus County Office of Education. For the strong local economy priority, only the library has any recommended adjustments. The library's summer reading program has been in place for more than 30 years and is a popular program for children and adults. The Stanislaus Library Foundation has provided a donation of $30,700 to enable the library to continue this successful program. There are recommended adjustments for the Agricultural Commissioner in a strong local agricultural economy and heritage. It's recommended to increase the Ag Commissioner's budget by $163,000 due to unanticipated pesticide mill tax revenue receipts. This revenue is from the California Department of Pesticide Regulation, along with a transfer of $39,000 from fixed assets into salaries. This will enable the Ag Commissioner to meet staffing needs through the remainder of the fiscal year. In a well-planned infrastructure system, two departments have recommended adjustments. In the Department of Environmental Resources, $460,000 increase is recommended for additional well drilling associated with the cease and desist order issued by the state and funded through the Deer Road Landfill Post-Closure Fund. In the Planning and Community Development Department, an increase in grant funding of $140,000 from the State of California Home Program will provide additional assistance in programs such as down payment assistance and housing rehabilitation. There are several recommended adjustments in the efficient delivery of public services priority. In the Chief Executive Office risk management budget, a $1.5 million increase is recommended for the Medical Self-Insurance Fund to reflect the employee share of costs along with all other sources of revenue. Also recommended is an increase of $600,000 for workers' compensation for settlement of several long-standing claims. And we're going to go into a little bit more detail on the Medical Self-Insurance Fund. As reflected in this slide, prior to the implementation of the new self-insured medical program on January 1st, 2012, the county budget only included costs and revenue directly attributed to county departments. Other costs and revenues from employee premium cost share, COBRA members, special districts, and early retirees were not included in the county budget and were paid directly into the medical insurance program through various sources and accounting transactions. With the implementation of the new self-insured medical program, risk management restructured this budget to capture all of the cost and revenue in the medical self-insurance program from all sources. The recommended increase in appropriations and revenue of $1.5 million reflects the impact of the change in budgeting and accounting procedures. This change does not increase the share of cost to county departments in the self-insured medical benefits program. County department costs are determined by the premium cost for medical benefits and the level of premium cost share paid by employees. The overall change to self-insurance, coupled with the agreement reached with labor groups to increase premium cost share starting January 1st, is estimated to save the county $4.9 million in calendar year 2012. In the Chief Executive Office mandated match budget, a transfer of $1.7 million from the contingency account to the Community Services Agency is recommended to fund the mandated costs previously described for foster care and in-home supportive services. In the Chief Executive Office General Fund contributions to other programs budget, an increase of $240,000 is recommended to fully fund the county's obligation under the North McHenry Revenue Sharing Agreement with the City of Modesto. This agreement has been in place since 1998 and is designed to allow both jurisdictions to benefit from commercial development in the area. In the clerk recorder elections budget, an increase of $96,000 is recommended for additional costs associated with the June 2012 presidential primary election, funded from the general fund fund balance. In the chief executive office county facilities budget, an increase of $59,000 is recommended to fund ongoing costs associated with the vacant Finch Road Animal Services Facility, as well as revised parking and maintenance agreements with the Gallo Center for the Arts to reflect actual usage and costs. In the General Services Agency budget, an increase of $2,200 is recommended for the 12th Street office building to fund insurance and pest control cost increases. In the Strategic Business Technology Department, server upgrades are necessary to support the PeopleSoft upgrade project and the Voice over Internet Protocol upgrade project. A transfer of $57,521 from services and supplies to fix assets is also recommended to support these upgrades. Finally, the recommended staffing changes included in this budget will restore funding to four unfunded positions at the third quarter. This, along with a separate position added on March 6th for Stan Zero, will bring the total number of allocated positions to 3,729. Those positions to be restored include one vacant accountant three position in Alliance WorkNet, one vacant supervising appraiser in the assessor's department, and one staff nurse three and one senior nurse practitioner position in the health services agency. Mr. Risen will deliver the remainder of the presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Tomlinson. Senior management of the chief executive office have been meeting with the CEO on a weekly basis for the past several years, trying to come up with strategies to help our organization navigate through this great recession. Although we're seeing some modest signs of improvement, unfortunately there are still a number of dark clouds on the horizon that leave us concerned. Perhaps our greatest concern is what we call our structural budget deficit. That is the gap between our operating revenues and our operating expenses. When you factor in potential increases in mandated match requirements and health and human service programs, increased retirement charges, and critical facility and infrastructure needs, that gap ranges as high as $19 million for the 13-14 budget year. As a later reminder, the board has programmed the use of over $50 million of reserves to balance the budget during this financial downturn. It's important to note, however, that while you programmed over $50 million of reserves to balance these budgets when they were presented to you, that doesn't represent how much of the reserves you actually ended up spending. We normally bring in more revenue and departments don't spend all that they were allocated to spend, and so our actual expenses would be less than the $50 million programmed, and that's been able to benefit departments, for example, by allowing them to participate in what we call our net county cost carryover savings program. Just a review, though, of how you programmed some one-time reserves over the years. In 2009-10, you programmed $4.5 million from the Tax Loss Reserve Fund. Starting with the 2010-11 budget, you committed $24 million, $8 million a year over 3 years to balance the budget. And in addition, in 2010, you allocated $3 million from the Economic Development Bank. This year's budget was balanced with the use of another $8 million of that $24 million that you committed, as well as a $6.2 million employer rate subsidy from Stan Serra. Realizing that the economic downturn was continuing longer than expected, your board approved a revised budget strategy designed to get us through 2014-15 budget year. That strategy called for the use of $9.2 million in TEETR reserves for the next 2 years. TEETR reserves come from the penalties and interest paid when property taxes go delinquent. The penalty is 10% of the delinquent taxes, and the interest rate is 8% annually. In budget year 2014-15, we will have our pension obligation bond paid off, and as such, the multi-year strategy only called for the use of $2 million of reserves set aside for future retirement increases. Obviously, the continued draining of reserves is not sustainable, and to continue to present balanced budgets to you going forward, we really need several things to occur. First, we're going to need to continue reducing our costs to meet our annual revenue levels. Secondly, we need to continue to pursue solutions that will help us minimize our match exposure in our health and human service programs. Third, we need to successfully complete our negotiations with the four remaining labor groups. Fourth, there are a number of potential changes being discussed when it comes to the development of retirement actuarials, and we need to work closely with Stan Sarah to advocate for gradual implementation of those changes. And finally, we need to see continued improvement in our discretionary revenue, especially in our property tax collections, which represents over 60% of our discretionary revenue. Our budget team's already knee-deep in preparing for the 2012-13 proposed budget. That document will be available for public review on May 25th, and then we are asking that you schedule the public hearing for the proposed budget for June 5th to be carried over as necessary the following 2 days. As always, the public can access our third quarter financial report online at www.stancounty.com and head for the county budget. Our staff recommendations this morning include a request for you to accept the Chief Executive Officer's third quarter financial report and authorize the CEO and Auditor Controller to make the necessary adjustments as recommended in the report. To authorize the transfer of $1.7 million from the mandated county match contingency account, that will require a four-fifths vote of your board. To authorize the Auditor Controller to process prior year invoices from Behavioral Health and Recovery Services to the South County Office of Education. To amend the salary and position allocation resolution to reflect the recommendations contained in the report. And to approve contracts and agreements listed on the attachment in the report in cumulative amounts of over $100,000 since July 1st, 2009. And finally, to set the public hearing for the 2012-13 proposed budget for June 5th, 2012 at 9:05. In conclusion, I'd like to thank the budget team for their tremendous effort. This is a challenging time of the year for us as third quarter and proposed budget begin to overlap. We seem to have less resources this year than ever, and they continue to work hard and provide you what I think is a very quality product, and I'm very proud of them and want to thank them, as well as our county department heads and their budget teams who work very well with the Chief Executive Office. That concludes our presentation. We'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for staff?
I had one, Mr. Chairman. The cost of the foster care program has went up really significantly. I wonder if you could tell us why. There's not a lot of explanation in there, but it's like $1.7 million.
Ms. Thomason, do you want to cover that?
Thank you. Actually, we've been identifying this shortfall since the beginning of the fiscal year, and it is largely due to the court-ordered increases in foster care and group home rates. Our caseloads are up to 561 children at any given time, but it is largely those court-ordered increases that are causing this increase in costs.
Okay. Well, that is a pretty substantial increase. Do we have these foster care systems out to bid, or is it just... Do we have anything to say about what they charge?
Not for those court-ordered increases. All we can do is respond to them and put them into place.
Okay. I can see the problem we've got into. Also, that in-home supportive services, we just have to roll along with that, too, with our county match, and we just really don't have anything we can do about that one, either.
Actually, our trend right now is flat growth. We're not really seeing a big increase in in-home supportive services cases, but this is the increase that we're recommending today is based on the current wage agreement, which expires on May 31st of this year.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Chiesa?
Yeah. On the foster care, the age was raised. Is that correct?
Yes, that's part of AB 12, which makes an incremental age increase for those available to continue in foster care up to age 21. For this year, it increased it to age 19.
Okay, so this is going. We're going to see continued growth as long as, if the cases based on the 18-year-old age group stay the same, then we're going to see. Do you have growth projections going forward?
I'd have to check with the department to see if they've developed those.
Okay. And is it a combination of caseflow growth and the 0 to 18 also, or have we seen flat?
I want to say that we have seen some increase in the 0 to 18, but I think the bigger portion of this, again, is due to just those court-ordered increases and then the increase to the age thing.
Okay. On the there's a $950,000 increase in the behavioral health, the managed care budget, mm-hmm. due to the psychiatric hospitalization usage. And is that the same thing? Do we have more people utilizing the service, or is it an increase in rate or longer stays? What do you, can we put a finger on that one?
I can tell you that it is more people using the services. We've gone from an average of 20 patients per day to up to 25, and it continues to climb. The rates in our local hospital have not changed. I don't believe that the rates at the out-of-county placement hospitals have changed either. It is strictly due to growth.
Okay. I've been attending the Community Corrections Partnership, mm-hmm. and they've allocated quite a bit of resources to the mental health aspect, which when you listen to the numbers that are coming out of prison that are going to be on probation in our county and the need for mental health, I would expect this, our budget, to explode on this side, even with the resources we're putting at it. I can't imagine that we can keep up. I see a real liability there and or an exposure. Is there any offsets to what essentially mandates the increase in the age of foster care? Is there any bills going forward? Is there any potential offsets to the cost?
No, the increase in the age for foster care is actually a federal statute. It was passed at the federal level, and the state implemented it, and the plan is to add a group of youth every year. This year we're going up to 19. The following year we'll be up to 20 until we reach all the youth up to age 21. So there's no movement at this time to change that.
So there's a complete unfunded mandate going forward?
It's funded by realignment.
So are they giving us more money for it?
No.
Okay, so it's an unfunded mandate?
It is funded to a certain extent.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? I have one regarding the planning community development, the $140,000 increase, which appears we got a grant to provide additional home programs. Are we going to do that in-house with existing staff, or are we contracting with somebody?
Angela Fredesen from Planning Director. We will do part of it in-house, the intake. We will do in-house as we can, but we do have existing contract with the Santa Cruz County Housing Authority that will do some of the work for us.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Any other questions? Can I ask any audience members if they have any comments or questions, or they could come up now? See, nobody will bring it back to the board for any further statements or questions. I'm going to have a tough time getting this out and trying to figure out. I'm probably going to say it wrong. I want to compliment all of our departments for the savings that they've realized in their departments. That's a good thing, to a point. Obviously, there's a fine line between saving money, which we have to do in this budget time that we're in, but also that it's a reduction in services that we're providing to the public. The five of us know we have to reduce services to the public in order to get through this budget mess. But I feel there's some sort of fine line between doing what we can to save money and the departments deciding what services to cut, and that really should be a board decision. And I know I'm probably not saying this real right, and I'll have further conversations with our CEO, but I just feel that the five of us are the ones who are responsible, held responsible to the public. And we need to be part of what reduction in services we're going to be making. So just the thought I have in my head as I'm looking at this budget thing today. The other thing that I've asked privately for, now I'll ask publicly for, is to ensure that our Santa Cruz County Housing Authority meets all the rules and regulations and policies that we've set forth. We read an article in the paper where some of the benefits or perks may seem excessive. especially in this day and age, and I have a hard time giving them any more money without knowing what the results of that inquiry is. And so we can either pull this out or I will have a no vote on today's budget. Okay. Any other comments?
Yeah. Professor Keza?
And I agree with a lot of what you said, Mr. Chairman, but the word uncertainty always comes to mind, and the state has created so much uncertainty around the budget, the realignment discussion as we go forward. You know, we've received money, and it puts our department heads in a real pickle as to whether to hire staffing and potentially have to lay off staffing in 6 months if there's if the governor's tax package doesn't pass. So we have to start the process. I understand that. Stan Sayers did us a favor the last couple of years. We can't count on that anymore. And looking forward with all the exposures we have and the health side and realignment, we see the numbers on the probation side are far exceeding the state's numbers. The people that are, that are being sentenced locally are exceeding the numbers we expected. And I'm not sure the revenue can keep up. And we've got, looking forward, when we talk about how we're going to meet our goals, short of using more reserves, it's pretty tough. We're negotiating now with some unions. We're counting on those savings right now. And it's important. We're going to have them. But we have so much uncertainty here for the department heads as we talk about, to spend down their fund balance. I do agree that we're not providing the service. If we have fund balance, we're not providing the service, but we still have to, we have to tread very carefully. And I know we are responsible, so I do agree that we should have a say in that. I think that's spot on. But let's be cautious. I was hoping we'd turn the corner. I see now that we have not turned the corner, that we're still headed south, and basically it's because of the state and the unfunded regulations that they're imposing on us. So, I'm going to take a cautious approach. I'm going to support this going forward, and I look forward to our budget hearing in June.
Supervisor DeMartini?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We've had to continually, through the last few years, reduce services in some areas as we just haven't had the revenue to continue them. Been really severe cuts in Parks Department and law enforcement in pretty much every agency throughout the county. But as we've had to reduce services, then we've had, on the other hand, the state and then in some cases the federal government forcing us to increase services. And we have, a huge exposure in the realignment through jails and probation department, the medically indigent adult program, the in-home supportive services, which we have very little control over. And now increased costs in foster care as the federal government, raises the age limit that we have to provide services for people with no funding for it. At the same time, property taxes have went down and sales taxes has went down, unemployment's went up, and the county has had increased costs of utilities, retirement costs, liability insurance, and fuel. It just really puts us in a fairly difficult position to just make the budget balance and to provide services that we are required to provide without the sufficient revenue, especially on the state side, to actually pay for them. We have a long road ahead before this ever straightens out. It's went longer than I thought it was going to, and I just don't see the end in sight before we're able to do what we used to, was put money into reserves. So I'm going to go ahead and support this today. I think it's the best we can do, and we just hope things will improve in the future.
Supervisor Withrow?
Thank you. Just a couple of things real quick. First, with regard to the realignment funds and mental health that Supervisor Keza talked about, I guess I look at that as a good investment, actually. We've got these prisoners coming back here, and if we're going to be able to keep them, from the recidivism, keep them from going back into prison, we need to to work on their mental health, most of these, that's a big portion of why they're in prison to begin with, I think, with a lot of these things. And I don't think they were getting that at the state level, and that's part of the realignment, which I think we can do better than what's been done at the state. I think I've said before, I think we can do everything better than the state does at our level, but I think that's one good thing, that we are allocating funds for this realignment to mental health, which will help keep these guys and girls from going back into prison. So I think that's money well spent there. Our general fund, you know, we started off the year at $108 million. We're down to $85 million, you know, based on this budget where we're going. I mean, we will run out of money at this pace. It's a business that's operating at a loss is what we're doing. And how long can you continue to operate at a loss? So that's the problem that we're all stuck with here. And I think everybody anticipated that the loss would start to break even and then start to turn a profit, and that's not happening, and we don't see that happening. So we've got to get very creative here to keep things going. What the Chairman O'Brien talks about, I agree. We do encourage cost savings in all the departments, but we still need to control how the money is spent, and that's our job. That's why we're up here. So not that we want to chastise everybody for the money they're saving. The department heads are doing a great job. I mean, that's what we want everybody to do. But then understand that we need to look and see how those savings are being achieved, and is that contrary to what we, as policymakers here, want to happen? Do we want it to be in a different way? There was a great slide there, Stan, you had, looking forward, and it talks about things that we're going to be required to do. And the things that kind of kill me here, when you look at containing county match exposures and health and human services, how do we do that? How are we going to contain the match exposures? You know, it seems like we're just stuck with these things that we're required to do based on what the state tells us. And you know, that's something as policymakers we have no control over, and that just drives me crazy. And I don't know. I don't think you can have an answer for that. But you know, anyway, just a frustration. And then the other one that kind of stands out, the gradual implementation of actuarial assumption changes in the retirement system. I know we've got a lot of exposure coming there. And I wonder if you could just talk about that a little bit. I know we didn't really hit on the things for the 2012-13 budget, but that's one of the scary ones there.
Yeah. There's a number of changes that the retirement board is considering. The earnings assumption rate is one of those. It's currently set at 8%. It's sometimes misleading because when you do an actuary, you're trying to figure out the cost of future benefits, and so you build in inflation rates. Well, SanSera uses a higher inflation rate than a lot of other retirement systems do, and so in pure theory, you could lower that earning assumption and lower that discount rate, cost of living inflation rate, and it would really have no impact on the system if you did those together. And I think our inflation rate in the system, I don't want to misspeak, but I think it's around 3.5%. And a lot of systems are using more like 2.5% or 2.75%. So we'd like to work with SanSera to as they contemplate these changes, to just implement them gradually, maybe change the discount rate but change the inflation rate at the same time, maybe wait until, and maybe do that in steps rather than do it all at once if they have to make changes. So there's just a number of strategies. There are some GASB changes that are being recommended. They're fairly complex. And the timing of when the board, because it will be SanSera, it will be entirely their discretion when they implement some of those actuary methodology changes, maybe make some of those changes when they've had a good earnings year, and to help offset some of the impact of perhaps some of those changes that could be detriment or be negative in the amount of employer contributions we have to contribute.
Okay. Did I see right a report I saw recently that the earnings, and maybe Jim, 2.75% is what the earnings are right now at SanSera, that the funds are earning. Is that correct? Did I see something like that?
I believe it's pretty close to that.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some months where we haven't done very well, but then we've had other months where we made, you know, $35 million in 1 month. So.
Okay.
Yeah, Supervisor, if I could address that. We, as part of the CEO's report to you each week, when we attend, when there are meetings that involve board members, we kind of report out on some of the stuff that came out of those meetings. And so the earnings for the Stansera for the fiscal year, which still has 3 months to go, is currently at 2.75. From a big picture perspective, though, last year Stansera earned, I believe, over 22-23, somewhere in that range percent, and the year before that, 15%. So we've had some good years. This year has been a little more down compared to the previous 2 years, but we're not done with the fiscal year yet.
Okay, great. Well, so I too will support this today, and I don't want department heads to feel discouraged. You know, like Paul said, it's great what you guys are doing as far as the savings. It's just we feel like we need to have a hand in that to some extent, and it's something that we're doing. We're working with ourselves here now, trying to figure out. The other thing I want to say real quick is I want to commend Monica for those activity reports that we're getting every week. Those are great, and I appreciate all the information you're giving to us. So, anyway, thanks, guys, for this.
Any other comments or questions?
Yes, please.
Supervisor Monteith?
I think everyone has been discussing the situation that we're involved with a moving target. That term has been used quite frequently. And we don't control the movement of that target, but we do have the responsibilities, and numerous board members have discussed various aspects of it. But I really want to say this. I think our process is working. We're constantly reviewing. We're constantly reevaluating. And we're being forced to make some choices that are very difficult. But I believe you'll find this board is willing to make those decisions with what we have to work with. Again, I want to thank all the employees on the county in making great efforts and working with us. I know that there are some things that they don't agree with us, but I think they understand. But this is a cooperative operation, and I think we're making headway. Now, how long is this going to happen? I don't know. When is it going to get better? I don't know. But I do believe, as I said earlier, I think the system is working. We're all working together to accomplish the best we can. The other thing I want to point out is, once again, I want to thank all the volunteers that we've had in the county and stepping forward and taking over some of the responsibilities that we've had to cut and have assisted us. So although we are going through difficult times, I believe that the county is up to addressing the issues. It's not going to be easy, but we will do what we have to do. Will everyone agree? No. That will never occur. But I think you've found, basically, this is nothing new for the Stanislaus County. We've been addressing this for 6 years. There are some counties that just started last year. And so, consequently, we've been able to address it as it's come to us, and we will have more opportunities to make other decisions. So with that, I do want to compliment everyone. We're in for a long old ride, and buckle down, and we'll get through this. And with that, may I second the motion.
DEO, Nina.
Thank you, Supervisor Withrow. And it isn't just me who does those activity reports. It's all of the CEO's office, and I appreciate that they are giving you some helpful information. What I'd like to put before this board before a motion is made and accepted is if this board would consider accepting the third quarter financial report, excluding the planning and community development adjustment of $140,000, and we will bring that back to the board at a later date. Just along those lines, we have evaluated the money that is going to our housing authority, and it is included as part of our single audit. It's roughly, last year, as of the end of June, it was roughly $5.6 million. But we are doing some additional due diligence, as we would in any other program, when we have various board questions or even public questions in that regard. And so, and we have not finished that staff work. And so we will return, but if this board would possibly consider just excluding that, so then the rest of the report might go forward, I would truly appreciate that. Thank you.
I withdraw my second.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to accept the 7 staff recommendations minus, that wasn't a singular recommendation, right?
Correct. I'm asking to just...
Yes, minus what Monica wants to do.
The planning and community development.
There you go.
Adjustment of $140,000.
Okay.
Motion by Chiesa, second by Monteith. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you very much for the report.
This board has received a letter from the clerk recorder and registrar of voters inviting a member of the Board of Supervisors to be a participant on the election observer panel for the presidential primary election on Tuesday, June 5th, 2012.
Is there a volunteer board member who'd like to do this?
I can't do it this time. I would enjoy doing it in the past, but I can't.
If they wish to observe, it's Tuesday, June 5th.
The evening.
The three of us are candidates.
Yeah, we're here. I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds like a volunteer by Supervisor Withrow.
Thank you.
With the true spirit.
Item 2.
This board has received a letter from the Don Food Products, Inc. regarding the permanent closure of their operations at 2407 and 2455 Tenaya Drive and 737 Riverside Drive in Modesto, California. The third phase of the closure is expected to take place during a two-week period beginning on May 9, 2012, and the final phase of closure is expected to take place during a two-week period beginning on May 31, 2012.
Refer to the Alliance WorkNet and the Simsoft Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a notice from the State of California Fish and Game Commission regarding proposed regulatory action relating to permits and inspection of facilities for restricted species.
Refer to Fish and Wildlife Committee.
The board has received a claim as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports today?
Just one comment.
Supervisor Chiesa?
Just wanted to comment this week on the Love Modesto, Love Turlock, Love Houston, Love Denera, Love Turlock. What a tremendous turnout. And I wasn't here in Modesto, but a thank you to all the folks that spent their time, spent their Saturday out there for a little chicken lunch worth $5, but they went out and served the Servolution, the former Servolution, the schools, a lot of school kids, a lot of church folks. But we need more of that in our community. We need a love day every once a month. So thank you to the volunteers.
All right. Is there a legislative fiscal amendment report?
Yes, there is, Chair. Very small, but the state's legislative analyst office are projecting the state's deficit to run in the $11 billion range. We've received word that the May revision, which often is referred to as the May revise, is scheduled to come out on May 14th. The California Transportation Commission, which is often referred to as the CTC, took action on April 25th to approve the Route 108 State Highway Alternative Project in Stanislaus County, which designates the North County Corridor State Route 108 East Route Project as the local highway alternative to the North State Route 120 Oakdale Bypass Project. Caltrans is beginning a $90.2 million State Route 99 resurfacing and restoration project. That was supposed to have started yesterday. The November tax initiative, recent polls for the governor's tax measures is ranging in the 54% in favor, 39% opposed. A strong majority oppose automatic cuts to the K-12 education. If the initiative is rejected, this could put major pressure and cuts in other areas. That concludes my report.
We do have a closed session, County Council.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a closed session conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision A. This involves one case, Christopher Romero versus Tom Farah et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 630905. We do not expect any report out.
This meeting is adjourned to closed session.